I remember I came here once and you forgot. Hello. Hello, say hello. Hello. There you go. Oh. Let us all stand and dedicate this little girl to the Lord. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we look to you for eternal life, for life that is precious and abundant life, O God, the Lord Jesus gives to us, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this child here. Lord, life is precious. Thou hast commanded us, O Lord, that commanded Adam, Lord, to be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth children, O Lord, not just physical, but spiritual children. Children with eternal life given by you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for this little Elizabeth here, the King Father of Brother KK and Sister Christabel. Lord, in your holy wedlock before you, you have given them this child. So precious, O Father, this life that came forth from all that which you have given to your children, Father, and for this couple here, this brother and this sister standing before you here, so to bless them, Father. Give them the wisdom, O Lord, that they raise up Elizabeth in the fear of the Lord, in the knowledge of God, if the worship continue, Father. We know, Father, this world is a mess, but we know who holds tomorrow. And because we know who holds tomorrow, we can face, O Lord, what's coming, and this child can face uncertain days. We thank you, Father. Bless the grandpa, bless the grandma who look after her as well, Father. Bless the family, O Lord, with this dear blessed family, to the glory of the Father in heaven. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for everything. Bless now, Father. Bless the little child in Jesus' name.
Amen.
There you go. You can go now. Oh, you can go now. You can go when you're smart, huh? No, you don't want to? Yes? Oh, okay, you go back to the Father. All right, maybe sit. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace today. Once again, O Lord, a precious day, the Lord's Day set aside for us together as the family of God. Here we are, Father, a little assembly, a part of the big assembly, O Father, that are all scattered around the world. And we know, Father, as this is a precious day that you have set aside for us to remember the Lord's resurrection and to come, O Lord, gather together and rejoice because you have given us, Father, eternal life. This life is in Christ Jesus, and we are so grateful, Lord, and so blessed a people. Lord, of all the billions of people in this world, you have chosen us to know your grace, to know your gospel, to know life, true life. We thank you, Lord. We can never thank you enough. And I pray for every one of us here, Lord, this morning, that our life is truly worthy of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are here not, Lord, not to socialize. We are here, Father, to face the Word of God, to learn and to be able to understand, Father, your plan and your purpose for each and every one of us. We thank you, Father. So bless now as you approach God once again in the alert understanding and recalling, O Father, of the things that we have learned. We pray the Lord others out there may learn as well. And I know the Lord, there are those that will fight against the truth that we believe in. And it will always be, because the enemy walks around this world. And wherever, Lord, he goes around like a roaring lion, seeing he may devour those that who will not conform to the word, and for those that conform to the word, he will fight and try to break down, Lord, the faith. And we ask that, Lord, you grant us the strength, Father, And with each passing day, Lord, as we walk in Thy Word, may we grow, Father, in strength to the glory of our Father in heaven, Father, Lord, that we may express ourselves as a true, living child of God. We thank You, Father. Bless now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go back to what we left off. I'll see how far, how much that you can go on. All right. Let us go and look at the last chart that we have put up, the list of the pure 31st born again. Now, as just recap, again, as I said this, the reason why I'm putting all these questions out again to recall, maybe to give you a better understanding, to look closer at the word, how do I arrive at, okay, and to make sense of how the way that words in the Bible are used. And when I first preached this many, many years ago, I was challenged by many preachers and believers. And even many of them are trying to twist my word and things like that. But I believe one thing is that if we would learn, if we are sincere and willing to learn, we will see the answer. But if we block our minds away for what we already perceive, what we believe ourselves to be, what we have to be true, then the other will always be wrong. So you will always block it out. Alright? So when we look at the list that is given here, I mean in the Bible, of course, I just put it simple here. We know that in the Bible we already see that there are two lineages. Alright? Chapter 6, the lineage of Adam. The other one, chapter 5, you'll see the lineage of Cain. And you know that they are so short over in the Cainic group. But here we see this, that every time, now, when we read Genesis, we do not see much of what it is until we go over to the rest of the Old Testament. We find out that God only interested in the firstborn. Alright? The firstborn is the one that carries the inheritance. Alright? Until somewhere along the line, something changes and God don't give it to the firstborn anymore. It becomes His grace to choose whom He will. You understand that? I'll come to that later. So in this lineage, we can see that after Adam have Abel was murdered by Cain. So God gave to Adam Seth. Now we know, as I said this last week, at that time the genes are pure. There is no corruption in the gene. You understand what I'm saying? Alright? These are all pure genes. Seth belongs to Adam and Eve. Seth do not have any blood of the serpent. You must understand that. Alright? So as long as the gene is pure, they marry their own sister, as I said that. And a lot of people at that time, in fact, I found that there are people still trying to find out why is it so that they can marry their own sister. When the Bible says they cannot, you know, in Leviticus and all the laws, but they do not understand. So as I said, you follow the timeline. You don't jump here and jump there and get the first, say, oh, you see, here cannot, say it cannot, and then you go back to the beginning and you don't understand why it can. Do you understand? So you see, they all married their own sisters or their own cousins or niece or whatever, as you can see. Alright? And then the last one we know that the Bible listed is Noah. Noah was the last listed. Because after that you have the three sons of Noah. Now the question is, why did the Bible do it this way? Why did the Bible stop at Noah and then says that Noah had three sons? And then list out the name of the sons, Japhet, Ham, and Shem. And the Bible said these are the three sons of Noah, and of them were the whole earth overspread. Now the question here arises is this, that people are trying to disagree with me when I listed that out, saying that Noah was not a pure seed. Now what the reason why there is this group of people that says that Noah was not of the pure seed was because it was propagated by some minister in the state that he's well known, everybody tends to, because American, as I said this to many. They always look to the first world, and because the first world must cover its sins. I already even told the minister, I said, that's the way, because if you propagate like this, and you run me down, you're going to destroy the ministry. You know, people were saying that, oh, you know, where the, a Chinese man from Singapore or from Africa or from India or anybody else out there cannot be compared to those in America. You see? Because that's why the world country people are looking at. They're always looking to the West. So, now I want to say this, the reason why he said that Noah, even today, after he passed away, there was another one that in Africa that made himself the big guy, and still insist and try to prove. But let us examine the word very, very carefully. Because what was spread, there are those in India and other parts of Africa and even in the Philippines, they even still are very confused. And what confusion is one thing to them, but they will come out and they will start to smear my name and things like that. Alright, they smell my name, doesn't matter. If they call me a false prophet, false teacher, whatever they call it, it does not matter. But when they twist my word, that's what it matters. If they twist God's word, I don't matter. It doesn't matter to me because God is going to judge them. But when they twist my word, when I say black is black, they say, no, brother, God said black is white. Then you face me because you are a liar. And that's why God, Paul even had to call the name of Hymenaeus Philetus for twisting the doctrine that he taught. You understand that? Huh? Well, they said the resurrection is over. And even today, there is one big cult. False cult that started somewhere, I think in China, it was by a woman. And it's on the internet. I was very surprised. They have different websites with different links, named to the links. And they are all the same. And they said, oh, Christ has already returned. God has reincarnated again into flesh. And I don't know what I was reading until I found the website where he says that it's a woman. God has incarnated into a woman. It's a woman Christ. And she is always, and the, whenever the article comes out, it says that she, as a he, this is a son of man. But actually it's a woman, a son of man. And she gets inspired, writing letters, writing words, all like that, the little leaflet, the little epistle, and scattered all around the world. There are many, many groups in the Philippines, in India, in Africa, and even in Singapore. You think about that. You see? So people are just being deceived because they are religious. And they get trapped into this. We are here not being religious. We are here being spiritual and understand the Word of God, the plan and the purpose of God. So we look at it so we can understand who we are, why we are here today, the way the whole world is. What comes out, what makes the world in is today. And we can go back to Genesis and prove the whole thing. Alright? So now when we look at Noah being the last, stops right here. Now, that those ministers who believe that Enoch was the last of the pure Satan. And one of the things that they always try to prove to me, of course, in the beginning, he asked me a question. Oh, not really asked me. But he was preaching to the congregation and he ran me down and asked me a question. You know, indirectly, but to the congregation, and I heard it on the tape. You know. The question is this. We know that the Semitic people have the revelation from God to marry a pure wife. Now, just ask Christian. Right? We all, the Bible teaches us, the New Testament, that we cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So if you want to marry someone who is of the same faith. You know, in the Old Testament, in the past, it is physical. But here we are, since you are already a mixed race, mixed people, it is about the faith. A Christian cannot marry a Muslim or a Hindu or any other person with a different faith because they will be incompatible. There will be a problem when we raise up our children. That is the problem. Alright? But there are also others that say that the Chinese cannot marry an Indian. A white man cannot marry a black man. or black woman, I mean. So that was what happened in America because they misunderstood some of the things that Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said, I don't believe in mixed marriage. Yeah. That's what that confuses a lot of people. I agree, I understand why Brother Branham do not believe in mixed marriage. Why? Well, today it's quite different. In the past, back in the early 1950s or 1940s, in the early 20th century, I would say, in Singapore, do you know what? I grew up as a child and I hear these Chinese people, you know, when they see a Chinese man walking with an Indian woman, they mumble, they say something bad. Because it's a no-no for the Chinese to marry an Indian or Indian to marry a Chinese. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or even a Malay marry a Chinese, a Malay marry an Indian. But especially because they are Chinese, especially the Chinese are biased. You know why the reason for this? The reason for this is what we call biasness, or we call, what do you call that, racism. People think that the white are more superior. So we are yellow, we are not really that yellow, in the sense we are white, we are better than the dark skin, because we are Chinese. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's one of my half-sisters, she married an Indian man. My father was very upset. But her mother, means my father first wife, came up to me and asked me, is it okay, what do you think? She wanted to seek my sympathy. She wanted to seek my approval, what I look at. Because in the past, she herself would not agree with Chinese married in India. You see the problem of these things? So, but when we look into here, you know, the race of the Sathite, the Sathic here, they marry all within themselves until they come to Noah being the last. And we have these three sons listed. And one of them here, you notice that the Bible said, Japheth, Ham, and Shem. Do you know the Bible said that? Let's go to the Bible, to your verse, and we want to see where it said it in Genesis chapter 9, verse 18. Genesis chapter 9, verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, it says Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But I have to put it on the chart here, Japheth, Ham, and Shem. Now, in the Bible, when we look at, the Bible says Shem, Ham, and Japheth, automatically, I found out that 80% or more people believe that Shem was actually the firstborn. You know, they believe that he was actually the firstborn, and Ham was the youngest. Now, the Bible said Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Not Japheth, Ham, and Shem. And yet many people say, okay, Shem must be the firstborn. Ham cannot be the secondborn. He must be the lastborn. Why? Because they look at one verse in the scripture that confuses them. Alright. It is found, as we read from verse 24. When Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him. Now, youngest son here, they said, no, it's not the middle son. It's the youngest son. Alright, that is the word in Hebrew that means the lesser. And so they're thinking, oh, okay, there are three. So it's younger, it cannot be middle. It must be mistranslation or put the word must be youngest. Alright, so that's how, and that some people put Ham was the last, was the third born. Now that is the opinion of men when they don't look into the scripture properly. Now, I do not want to go into detail unless you want to go into detail to look at it, you go to chronological study, which takes a lot of time. But one of the best books that you can look into is Albert Penny Bible Chronological Book. He will even show it to you how that Shem was the last born. And how that Ham cannot be the last born. I mean, as what people said that Ham was the last. It isn't. He can prove to you that Japheth was the firstborn. All because the Bible mentioned number of years, so on, so forth. And it's there. And so, but God does not put in the Bible and tell you straight away. But what if God changed the position of Shem, who was the last one, and put him in the first? And put it all reversed. Now that's why the mystery is, and this is the beginning. If you are studying, now to find the answer, you've got to look, read through the Bible, and see how God chose His chosen people. And now how it come right to the end of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Then you find, oh, you can trace it back all the way to Shem, to Abraham, to Shem. So, now we realize that, oh, another place in the Bible where it says that God said, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. That gives you an understanding that after what happened in this mixture, and the Son was carried over after the flood, where the whole earth was populated. Now remember this, the Bible says, these are three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. In the book of Acts, it says that we are all born of one blood. Right? If you know, we are all born of one blood. Some people say, oh, my friend said, born of one blood, we are all born of the blood of Adam. Really? How are we born of the blood of Adam? When the Bible said, these three sons of Noah brought forth the population of the world. Do you get it? We can only trace so far as to these three sons. We cannot trace so far back as to Adam. Because Adam was a PRC. Seth was a PRC. Lamech, Enoch, all these are PRC. Right? So we cannot say we are. We cannot even call ourselves Adamic race, actually. We can only say we call ourselves Noahic race. That's as far as we can go back. Now, when you see the word younger here in Hebrew, it doesn't give you an understanding. Alright, now, the other way of looking at it, let us go to another verse of scripture here. Go to Genesis chapter 11 verse 26. Genesis 11 verse 26, and here we have another clue altogether to see now. Two places in the book of Genesis to make you to understand it is now God's choosing. The first one always get the inheritance. Inheritance. The first one always get the inheritance. But when it comes to what's messed up after the flood, things change. Alright, so chapter 11 verse 26. Here we have the name of Abel's, 26. Alright. Terah. Terah came from the line of Shem. Terah lived 70 years and begat Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Now, against three sons, who was the firstborn? It was not Abraham. Abraham was not the firstborn. Haran was the firstborn. Again, the whole thing is reversed. God put it there. Why did God do that? And God said, I want to confuse people. No. I want to confuse those who think they are wise. They think they could learn by scrutinizing scripture like that, as some people say. Oh, the Bible is so simple to understand. Have you heard people say that? The Bible is so simple to understand. I said, really? Yes. Look, there's a Trinity. Matthew 28:19 said, Jesus said, go baptize them in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. As I said this very often, and the other will say, you see, Jesus prayed in the garden. He prayed to the Father. And here he is on earth, prayed to the Father, and said, send the Holy Spirit, send the Comforter. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, three gods. No, no, we don't use three gods, we use three persons. And I want to say this out there. Every time I tell people, you'll never find one place in the Bible that says that God is a person. You know what a person is? Oh, a person is someone who has a personality, really. You know, you ever see dogs? All dogs have personalities. Yeah. You ever keep birds, a macaw or a cockatoo, a parrot? Man, different ones got different personalities. It doesn't mean that they are a person. Personality means a character, the attributes, behavior. That's what it is. You are the person. Because what? You are a man. You are a woman. You are created in the image of God. The Bible said God, in the book of Numbers, God is not a man. So God is a spirit. But Jesus is a man. The flesh. And God's word terminated in him to do his word. Simple thing like that? No, it's not simple. But again, it's very complicated. Yes, of course. But if you would take one word here, one verse here and there, and try to understand about the Trinity, about Godhead, you will not understand it. You'll make yourself a mess. Do you understand that? And so, when we look into this, that the fact here we see that Abraham, Terah, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran, all reverse. And as you read through the rest of scripture, we can see how that it was a messianic line. God has chosen. Huh? First, after the flood, we already the Bible named Shem. And from Shem's line, you see all these other firstborn. Until it comes to Terah. Terah gave birth to Abraham, or we will say the other way around, Haran, Nahor, Abraham. But God wants to reverse it to hide something. That we need you to understand this. Alright. So now, let's go on. Acts 17:26. So, for this that you will understand, book of Acts, where the Bible, I quoted earlier just now, they make a one blood. That is the one bloodline from Noah and his wife. All nations are meant for the draw on the face of the earth. So now, every one of us are mixed. We do not know how many percent of us are contain the blood of Shem or Japheth or Ham. We do not know. Some of us may not have one of these, but we are truly mixed in many different ways. Now, the thing is this, from the beginning, when you have this pure line, the sap, we will call it a sap of life, the genes, huh? Whatever God has put into whatever, how God had created in the beginning of Adam and Eve, the sperm and the egg, they're just pure. There's no mixture. So the sap of life is pure. Now you know what I'm saying? Well, I just like today we have all this food, they're so terrible. I mean, awesome, so corrupt. Hey, not about food, let's talk about the plant and the animal, for example. You all know that the fishes that you're buying, many times the fishes doesn't taste good. Why? I mean, so for the last 10, 20 years now. Why? Because the fish were fat, cardboard. Now you won't believe it. Cardboard and grass. They make it, ground it onto pellet and feed it to that farm it out there and say they feed it to the fish. No wonder he tells, how come the fish tastes like that? How many of you have eaten good lamb chop? I mean, just go to a restaurant, order a lamb chop. Do you think the lamb tastes like the lamb chop that you used to taste 20 or 30 years ago? These lamb are not grass fed. They are grain fed. What does a cow eat? What does a goat and sheep eat? They eat grass. Right? And if you start eating something different from what you're supposed to eat, what happens to your body? As I mean, people are sick. And one of the most dangerous substances to eat is sugar. White sugar. Why is white sugar so bad? Because there's no such thing as white sugar. It's man-made. Man corrupted it by stripping it out. And I always remember the history of it all. When I was a child, when I was a young man. Why? Who started this white sugar? When sugar is supposed to be brown in color, natural, from molasses, what you have from the sugar cane. How come it's become white? Because why? In the English, American, England, Europe, later on, of course, when they migrate over to America, it's the same thing. The tablecloth is white. The silver is white. The flake is white. The ball of sugar is white. Salt is also white when it's supposed to be pinky or more deep grayish. Huh? The strip of everything to make it look white. There's something wrong with humankind now. You know? What? We are what we eat. The Chinese, why are they called yellow people? Because of the Wang Ho River, the Yellow River. What is deposit of them make the color that we are today? Why are the Indian, the black Indian, I mean in India or Africa, why are they black? Go there and you will see that the soil is black, the food they eat of course changes. Why do the African people have different kinky hair and big lips? Huh? Because of the food that they eat. And I believe one of the things that they eat over so many years is cassava, the roots. It changes people's color and features. Because God has put into the gene to be able to adapt, like human beings, adapt to environments. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, so you have this pure self. As long as they continue to marry among themselves, there's no problem, no problem. But when they start mixing, then you have a problem. And then people begin to die. That's why after the flood, how long can people live? Before the flood, how many hundreds of years, right? You remember? You can see how many hundreds of years. Methuselah, 969. Man is so old. 969, like, look like he, but today we're not even able to live until 96 years old. He got another figure at the back, 969. Huh? That's a long time. And after the flood, yet, from few hundreds, slowly down to 100 plus. Do you understand? And Abraham died, I believe, 175 years old. Isaiah, I believe, he died 180 years old. But then when by the time Moses came, 120 years old. And from that time, the cut of age is 120. And yet, the people today still try to prove to me, you are wrong, but again. Humankind can only live up to 70 and 80 years old because they don't understand. They went to the book of Exodus where Moses was writing a song about their stay out there in the wilderness, about the strength of a person, you know. Out there 40 years, just imagine. 40 years, if a person go out there at the age of 50 years. He may live up to 70 years or not 20 years and then his strength is sending. Because there's a wilderness out there. But as the Bible, as Moses said, by reason of their strength, they can live up to 80. That was just a song what he was singing. Just like today. Alright. We get sickness. We get all these flus and whatever sickness, whatever affliction. Now your monkey pox and whatever pox coming into the world. What happened to that body? And then finally suddenly you find yourself, oh, you're sick already. At 70 years old, you have maybe cancer, you have TB. Huh? And then the doctor will say, oh, I give you 10 years to live, or 5 years to live. But if you change your food, start doing what is right, you can reverse it. And by reason of that, hey, you live beyond more than 10 years, the doctor give it to you, 20 years, 30 years. The body can heal itself. And that's what the Bible tells us, that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we need to really keep it. And that's why one of the things is that many of us fail to because we are so addicted to certain food. Yeah. I get kidney stones because I love to drink coffee. 4 cups a day or two cups excluding or just together with tea. Those were the days. That's why I get kidney stones. Yeah. I mean, back in those days, we just drink, you know, we are still young, we are in our 30s, 20, 30s, 40, 50 even. And I realized, oh my, after getting a kidney stone, I had to change, cut down the tube. I drink, how many cups of coffee a day now? Only one. Half a cup in the morning. That's about it, yeah. Because hydrate, I mean, you know, direct. And drink a lot more water. See? And the food we eat affects our many parts of the body too. So, it's become corrupt. But when you look at it, say, as long as they melt together, the sap of life is pure, it will continue to produce. Now, as I said this, when... Okay, let us examine here one place here. Let us go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. Now, the reason why I want to show you this verse and to look at is this. How do we know that Noah was a pure seed? Well, here the Artemis trying to challenge me and say, Enoch was the last of the pure seed. And in challenging what I was teaching here, told the congregation this. I want to show you something. I'm just paraphrasing what he said. We know that all the seven people have the revelation of marrying a pure wife. Yeah? And if Brother Gunn is right to say that Noah was the last of the pure seed, then why did Noah, with that revelation to marry a pure wife, why did he marry a non-pure wife? And he asked that question. You see, Brother Gunn shot himself full of holes. Well, people say amen. But did you really examine the scripture? Now here in this fellowship, it's kind of quiet here. You don't say amen. No, whether you are, because you are thinking or because you are just trying to say amen when you know what is true. Huh? So I wrote back to him and said, Brother, you said that Enoch was the last of the pure Satan. Was the last of pure Satan. By your own questioning, why then did Enoch, being a pure Satan, having the revelation to marry a pure wife, why did he not marry a pure wife? Got a point? Are you following me? Or are you dreaming somewhere? Is your mind out there somewhere thinking about having your lunch? Are you going to learn something? Because one day I think we should have examination. See whether you know what you've been listening to and learning or not. Huh? And even the big guy over there in Africa, you know what's a pure seed? You know, as I said this many times, when God put down the genealogy and mentions something, He does not do it haphazardly. He do it systematically. And if He reverse the order of Shem being the last and put him first, then you have to find out why. And then if there is another place somewhere that shows the reverse, then you have two witnesses. The Bible says at the mouth two or three witnesses, right? Then the matter be established. That's why baptism in our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Where do you get? How many verses do you ever find in the Bible? Only one. Jesus never repeated. The apostles never repeated. That shows you something is wrong. And yet in the book of Acts, at least I believe 8 or 12 places they mention that. Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it says the Lord Jesus or Jesus Christ. But actually, I think in other manuscripts, they use a full title, Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Alright. So, Enoch cannot be the last, because if he was the last of the pure seed, and if he married an impure wife, that means to say that Methuselah, Lamech, Methuselah, in fact, the firstborn of Enoch, would never be named by himself. You only see one list of names, right? Methuselah. He didn't mention the name of his brother. Correct? Yeah. The Bible says these are firstborn. And after the firstborn, they never mention the brothers. The name of the brothers. No, none. Why? Because God is not interested, as I said, in the firstborn. Inheritance is passed to them. And I said to the brother, common sense will tell you, the heirs to Noah, and bring forth the three sons, make you to think. So these are all mixed already. Why stop at Noah? Why not continue with Jacob? Being the firstborn. Why not? Why not just ask questions? That's why God always said, I can't say this one thing over the book of Isaiah. God said, come, let us reason together. Remember? Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's not possible. Sin is so scarlet, so bloody, so bad. How can it be white as snow? How can it be? God said, come, reason with me. Because in your reasoning, your own thinking, your own assumption, your own whatever, you'll never find the answer. Right? I don't believe in God. There's no God. We came from a monkey. Well, that's a sad thing. If you want to believe that, and you want to reason with yourself, if there is a God, what is war? What is disease? You heard people say that? Countless times. And you will never find your answer because you already make up your mind. That's your reason. There's no God. That's why this thing happened. But the question you want to ask, why did this thing happen? Why are there this war? Why are there sickness? Why? And if the world is getting worse, what will become of mankind? Ask yourself the question and seek for the answer. And the Bible says, they that find me, search for me, or find me early. I mean, those who seek me early shall find me. God said that. Seek me. Seek me with all your heart. That's what God would show you. So now, how do I prove that Noah is the last of the pure and not a mixed? How do I know that he is pure? Let's just go to the Bible. They are always there in the Bible. Okay? Let us go to Genesis chapter 6 verse 9. Okay? Alright. These are the generation, let's read it first. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. See the word that? You have the word just, the word perfect, the word walk. Three things God mentioned about Noah. He was a just man. What means righteous? He was perfect. Perfect from the Hebrew word. Tamim means pure. A pedigree. The crew is right there. And he walked with God. Well, you know, Noah has other brother and sister. You know that, don't you? Huh? Yeah, he has other brother and sister. And he has also uncles and aunties, great great uncles, great great aunties, all the way. They all still live a few hundred years old. But some of them, they want to marry, well, the king woman. And the Bible tells us what kind of woman they are, right? Yeah, they walk. You know, this is seductively. The Bible says they were fair to look at. They were fair to... Yesterday, when I was out, I was in the, I can't remember what it was, in the train. And I saw this woman, young lady. I think she's Filipino, but because of the mask. And I glanced at her. Whoa. She's kind of looking, you know. And I was wondering, is that her skin is really that smooth and fair? So I gave her a second look. A little closer. Then I realized, a makeup? No, then your makeup make you look very fantastic. Your skin looks so smooth and pinky. Because from one glance, you thought, hey, what if that person gets so nice skin, so pinky, so nice hair? It's not those really pinky, they put on all those pink, after you know that one. But this one is so well done, I was saying, wow. And that is what the Bible tells the Canaan woman they were fair to look at. And in history, other ancient history that I look at, they were able to use herbs of the field. Like we have in Indonesia, what we call jamu. You know about jamu? Yeah, jamu. For women who after give birth, they buy this jamu, they rub, so they make it firm again, look nice again. You know when you give birth, when a woman give birth, that skin stretch, right? Correct. Yeah. You see? And also your wrinkles will be there too because you're carrying the baby. So you know how they have these herbs. In those days they're already knowledgeable. These are Kenyan people. The Santa people are very simple people, but the Kenyan people are people of the world. Wow, they really know how to seduce the second man and when married, you see? And so we are a mixture of people later on become more corrupt. But Noah, look here. Just, righteous, perfect means he's a pure paragon and he walked with God. Other brothers, sisters, cousins, auntie, all that, many of them don't walk with God at all. But the Bible said Noah walked with God. Who else walked with God? Enoch. These also walk with God. But the Bible said Enoch walked with God and he was not. And God took him. The Bible says, Enoch walked with God, and God took him into the ark over this side of the flood. Got it? And I pray that every one of us walk with God. Walk with God, so one day God is going to take us away. Right? Pure in faith. Pure in spirit, pure in life. Now, I was talking, you know, many of those believers in Singapore, so they read what I have. Many of them read what I wrote, the books, or on the website. They were one to disagree. So one day, several years back, I had I sat around the table with a pastor. And I was discussing, then he come to this, about Noah. I disagree with you. If you said that Noah was pure, it's no longer grace. What? I beg your pardon. And he used the verse above, verse 9, which is verse 8. What does he say? And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, from again, he found grace in God's eyes. Doesn't mean that he's pure. He's not pure, that's why he found, yet he found God, grace in God's eye. God, a stranger. Let me ask you something. You know what he got, and he was not. But did he not find grace in God's eye? And God took him? Grace is God's favor. He chose whom he will. What did he say in the Bible? Esau, have I hid? Isaac, have I loved? Huh? Think about it. And Moses withstood Pharaoh. What did the Bible say about Pharaoh? What did the Bible say about Pharaoh? Each time God performed a miracle, the Bible says the Lord hardened his heart. What do you mean the Lord hardened his heart? Not directly, but by the power that God performed the miracles and all that. You know, Pharaoh thinks he's some sort of God too. You know, that emperor is some sort of, like Japan, right? The emperor is some sort of god too, right? Huh? And even I think Thailand also, Thai is some sort of god. The people tend to believe that. In paganism, even in Africa, those tribal chiefs, there is some sort of a god or something. Huh? So it is God who chose. Do you think you choose God? Let me tell you something. We didn't choose God. God chose us. I mean, I grew up in my father's home, and my father's first wife, or living my father's first wife, and then we were together. My mother, one day, we just lived separately. But I grew up there in the home with my father's first wife, and because she's a, I don't know what you call her anyway, what kind of faith this is. Buddhist, Taoist, a mixture of, you know, in Shonism, you have a mixture of this. And then you have that, what they call, Tua Pei Gong, you know, there's a painting of a man with the hair, the beard, on the wall, an altar, and there's a two candles with oranges. You ever see those altars? Yeah. And festive season came, and we were just, okay. Chicken is there. Everyone loves chicken back in those days. And so every one of the young kids all have to queue up, taking three joysticks. Okay. All right, go back on. You know, pray to that. So we don't know, I mean, we are kids, right? You think kids know anything about this? Kids only know about chicken and whatever is on the altar. Oh, we go there, we do this, and after that, we eat chicken. You see, we don't know anything. We just believe, and that's why religion are like that to many people. They just follow. They just follow. There is a docu series on Netflix, if you have Netflix. It is called, what, Sweet Something, I can't remember. It's about the FLDS, the Fundamental Church of the Latter-day Saints. You should want to watch that. It's unbelievable. It's a branch of the Latter-day Saint, and the man condemned not the prophet controls the woman. He married, I don't know how many dozens of women. And when he passed away, somebody whom he failed to be the next prophet takes place, even marry his own mother. Whoa! I can't believe that. And this happened in the 1990s, around there. Until 2002, something like that. Just then. And the people who came out did this, and they testified, they were interviewed, testified, and said, the woman said, we don't know, we just follow. We thought it's great to be the wife of a prophet. And the prophet is 80 years old. And I'm only 20 something or 30 years old. And the young man in the church, what happened? When a prophet married, this woman, 20, 30 woman, what happened to all these young men? They got no wife, right? Kick them out. And they were left out in the street homeless. That's why investigation took place. Think. That's a really cultic group under control by an evil man who wants power. Oh my. So, grace. Yes, I know it's grace. But it doesn't mean that because God chose Noah, makes Noah a mixie. That doesn't make any sense. I just have to think about Enoch. Huh? Yeah. And I believe that every one of these three firstborn, they walk with God. But if God wanted to choose Enoch because the way he walked with God was different from the others, apparently. Just like today, there are Christians everywhere around the world. How do you walk with God? How do we walk with God? Some go to church on Sunday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And when they sing, oh, you know. Now after that, the service is over, what they do? Monday to Saturday, what happened? Is there a real life in them? When you walk up from here every Sunday, what is your life outside of the fellowship? Think about, always consider yourself a question. Is my life worthy of the gospel? Yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven. One leg can put in heaven, your left leg want to put on earth to do what you want. Paul said, I'm a prisoner. I'm a prisoner of Christ. Huh? If you are a prisoner, you have no rights. But we always want our rights. Yeah. I saw when a doctor asked me, he said, why don't you go for surgery? And he said, I said, I'm fine with my life. I'm happy. I have lived a good life. You know, if I have to go, I go. And I let my God's will be done. Yes, the Hezekiah. God granted him life. How many more days? How many more years? It's true. God is in control. Why are we so afraid about what's coming in this world? The monkey pox and whatever, people are so afraid now. You know what is vaccine? They want to have fourth booster or second booster, right? It's a fourth dose. The next one, next year, probably there's a fifth one people are going to take through. People are afraid. Well, alright, so you understand this. He was a just man, a righteous man, perfect in his job. Perfect means he is pure. You understand that? Okay? Now, and verse 10 here, he says, and Noah begat three sons, Ham, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, the Bible, he said, he had three sons. There's no daughter. There's no daughter, not even one. Well, has all this? You read the Bible, they say after they give birth to Enos, he has sons and daughters, right? Everyone there, sons and daughters, sons and daughters, sons. You have to keep a balance. Perhaps one of them may have, he lived 700 plus years. He may have 20 sons, 20 daughters, more or less like that balanced number. Got it? But Noah only had three sons. You only mention you have three sons only. What's the problem here? Well, the minister who tried to say that I was wrong to say that Noah was a piyasi. He made this remark, which is very true. He said this, whenever there is a mixing, it disturbs the gene. Which is very true. You know that, don't you? Yep. When you mix it, there is a disturbance in the gene. And I said, you are correct. That's why you should look at why Noah had only sons and no daughter. Why had all these theology? They are not mixed. They have sons, daughters, sons, daughters, sons, daughters. But Noah, he only has three sons. God didn't even give him one daughter. Wow. And since we know that track, therefore Noah's wife must be a mixed or a Kenic woman. And the Bible tells us, and it does prove, and I prove it, it was Naamah. People say, Brother God, how do you know it's Naamah? How do I know? God showed it to me to show it simple. What a woman's name mentioned in genealogy. That's when God told me, look into all the genealogy that's mentioned. When woman's name are mentioned, woman's played a part in that lineage. You can look into all the genealogy. Huh? Remember Jesus' genealogy? No, remember. Okay, let's go to the book of Matthew then. Okay, Genesis, Matthew 21, chapter 1, that's correct. Where woman's name I mentioned. Okay, Matthew. So sorry, Matthew. Chapter 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judah and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, Ram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rechob. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Now, why the woman mentioned here? Because this woman joined to the lineage of those line that God had chosen from the line of Judah down. Think about it. I mean, it's so clear right there. And so why was the name of Naama mentioned? Just ask yourself. And I always wonder, the first time when I was studying it in the book of Genesis, right here over in chapter 4, rather. Yeah, the genealogy of Adam was in chapter 5, not chapter 6. And Cain was in chapter 4. Okay, look at it here. Verse 22. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artifact in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naama. Why does the Bible mention that? And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naama. Why? And after that, you don't read of Naama anymore. Huh? So why mention their name? Make no sense, right? You see? And even the thing that when I was looking at it closer, how do I know who is who? When I look at this over in verse 9, this is where I found how polygamy was introduced. Polygamy was introduced by Lamech. Not this Lamech of the Sethic line, but the Lamech of the Cainic line. Look at it, verse 19. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada. The name of the other was Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. And he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Juba. He was the father of such as handle the harp and organ. Now, when I first read that, why was it God just putting this word there for? You know what I mean? After that, these people's name, there was nothing more about them, just a short paragraph about what they did. But one mentioned this. One mentioned that the man has two wives. One's name is Ada, the other one is Zillah. And the other bear Juba, and he was father of such a dwelling tent and such a cattle. But the other, his brother's name was Juba, was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. Why mention that? So that his two wives are all different. One was a Cainic, the other one was a Sethic. And of the Sethic wife, wanted to the, you know, to be like a Sethite, taking care of cattle and sheep, and where they wanted to the Cainic spirit, or where they make artifacts, instruments, you know. That's why we have later on all these musical instruments and all that, all the harps and all this invention. You know, actually, the invention in those days were all done by the Cainic people. They are the ones that discover all these things. But whereas the study people, they are very simple people. They just take care of the animals. Huh? And then he mentioned then in verse 22, and Zillah. Okay, now he is mentioned Zillah, the second wife. Okay, Lamech's second wife. Zillah also bare Tubal-Cain, the instructor of every artifact. Again, telling us that, hey, this is someone that you need to take note of. And his sister was Naama. So he married two wives. The first was a second woman, the second was a Kenite woman. So you, when you look at this, you cannot fail to notice when the woman's name is mentioned, she plays a part in the genealogy of the humankind, or the descendant that comes down. It's fixed and it's dead. You cannot run away from it. Alright? I think, let me just go on a little bit more. And another question that was asked, someone asked, why did the people mix marriage? What did the satire mix marriage? You know, with the Kenite, and the Kenite with the satire. Well, I mean, apparently it's kind of a silly question. Huh? It takes place anyway. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. When you get two tribes, two different tribes, living together, what do you think is going to happen? Huh? Look at here in Singapore. Years ago, in one of the previous generation of mine, where the Chinese came over here, the Indian came over here, huh? And the white people came here, of course, to do all the business. And those dead people are married very much segregated. Chinatown! China, Chinese. Little India! Indian! Right! Today we had a Filipino town, city down in Orchard Road. Right, and then you have the Thai, little Thai, where? Marine Parade? So up there. Huh? Gotama! Beach Road! But when the foreigner come here and work together, what happened? Hey, they fall in love. So you see that the Filipino married the local Chinese Singaporean or married a local, you know, Malay. This thing happens. And then the white people from Australia or Europe, they work here. They, after a few years, they fall in love with the Chinese in the office or the Malay or the Indian office. Right. Why? Kind of silly to ask question. What happened back then? Why did they mix marriage? Of course, mix marriage because they attract to each other, you know. Parents are broken now, so they marry. But okay, now I want to close with this. Genesis chapter 9, verse 18 to 27. Let us read this. Genesis chapter 9, verse 18 to 27. And the sons of Noah that went forth the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine, and was drunken, and was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Now, reading here this, how many verses are about? 10 verses or so. People just read it many times. Even Bible students read it and they don't examine it. For me, it's different. When I start studying the Bible, I actually pay close attention to why certain verses or certain phrases or clauses are repeated. And here we find here the clue to know who is Canaan. The clue to find out what was the sin, or what is the sin that Ham committed. Now, if you look at verse 18, first time he says here, the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. Now, the Bible mentioned it just right here. Okay? And then verse 22, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. Why put the father of Canaan? Why not just say, and Ham saw the nakedness of his father? And why must he mention verse 18? Ham is the father of Canaan. Because in this passage is a record of actually what happened between the mother, Mrs. Noah, and her son, Ham. But you know, his doctrine is so dirty. He's talking about incest. You don't talk about incest back in the Puritan age. Even to mention, you know, even in the 50s when Brother Abraham was preaching the serpent seed. I think he preached serpent seed in 53 or 56, I can't remember the book that they have, serpent seed. You know, he talk about, people just don't say it openly. Barbara was going to say, you know, in the middle of your body, you know what I'm saying, you know? I don't know. What did you buy this morning? I bought this thing, you know? I bought this. You know, people say, you know. She actually don't know what is being said. But of course, the Bible was saying in the middle of your body, you know. So, I know what he was trying to say, because in those days you cannot say, in the middle of your body is your reproductive organ, or your sexual organ, or your private organ. No, don't say that. Some people watching on the live stream were thinking, the Bergen, you are so vulgar. Am I vulgar? The Bible is even more vulgar. I can show you verses where the Bible talk about that place by a word that means just it. Pudanda! Ma'au! Ooh! No, that's a bad word. What, that's Hebrew? But the Bible don't use that when you translate the day of King James. It's a no-no. You know what a pudanda is? You know what a pudanda is? It's a term, means your sexual organ. Male or female, the part is called a pudenda. Huh. I wonder how people, you know, sometimes. I understand in the days of the Puritans, but today, okay, let's say this. If I were to say, there are certain words that need to be used properly with an adjective. If I were to tell you this morning, a worker, I had an intercourse with my Lord. What goes through your mind? What goes through your mind? This morning I worked out, I opened my window, I have an intercourse with my Heavenly Father. What goes through your mind? You listen to the word intercourse, you saw it as terrible. Because that's the way your people are brought up. Is that right? You only think about the one word. But if I say to you, this morning I had a spiritual intercourse with my Holy Father. Now you understand. Right? It's the word intercourse not to be used. It's too bad a word. Yes, to some say, yes, it's not a good word. You must use the word communion with my Heavenly Father. Right? People think that. But when they pass, what? They talk about sexual intercourse, spiritual intercourse. Intercourse is a word that's interconnection. Intercourse. You know, it causes a movement, intercourse mixed together. Right. But the mind says the moment you hear the word intercourse, we all understand. So when the Bible used the word pudenda, what then? Your pudenda. That's not a good word. Correct? Kind of strange. When you go to see a doctor with your sexual problem, the doctor will tell you very frankly, mention the name of their organ. Huh? Do you squeamish? Why are we squeamish? Because humankind has come up to a stage where there's a lot of hypocrisy in the behavior. Try to act righteous, try to act right, things like that, and they're not even telling the truth. I will close with you here and continue next week. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We know, Father, the mind can only take so much. But we know, Lord, with the Holy Spirit, Lord, you will break down the word and make us to understand. The Holy Bible, the Holy Sacred Scripture, Father, is a book that touches on every subject. Because, Father, you do not hold back anything when you express yourself. But Lord, when the world turns into corruption, Father, then the mind of people becomes corrupt. And even in the thinking, oh Lord, to satisfy them, behave religiously right before you, and yet their life is a life of hypocrisy. But let us approach your word every time, Father, with the clarity of mind, with sincerity, with the spirit of righteousness that which you've given us, knowing that, Lord, you will teach us. We thank you, Father, for your grace. Bless the rest of the day now, Father, in Jesus' name.